That's a gay ass podcast.
What? That's a gay ass podcast.
A what?
A really, really, really gay podcast that we call That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
That's a gay ass name for a gay ass podcast.
Eddie is on That's a Gay Ass Podcast, here to talk horny questions. Eddie, thank you so much for coming on. How are you feeling about answering horny questions from a gay guy in LA?
Yeah, I'm excited. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh my gosh, it is my pleasure. In fact, I've been following you now for a while on Twitter and on all social media, and you are just somebody that I've been dying to talk to, so I'm having a bit of a pinch me moment. Before we get into any hard-hitting questions, I have to say you are a hot guy in London. Would you say that guys in London are hot, and how do you feel about the gay scene in your town?
I'm probably the worst person to speak on that, to be honest, because I'm not really into like going out or drinking.
Sure.
Or anything like that. We have some nice gay bars and things just for like a quiet drink and stuff like that. Otherwise, I guess my gay scene is more based around my little friendship group and having board game evenings and going to the theater, which I guess is a gay scene.
You're a theater queen?
I wouldn't quite say that, but I like going.
Okay, well, you're talking to a huge theater queen.
The latest thing
tell me.
Oh Mary, which I think started on Broadway.
It certainly did, and you saw Mason, I forget their full name.
Yes.
So how was Oh Mary in London? I'm dying to know.
Yeah, it was really good. My friend Dino's in it as well, and he was amazing. The whole cast was amazing. It was really funny. Yeah.
Ugh, we love to hear straight from the West End an Oh Mary glowing review. Yeah, it's crazy to see how that show has like blown up, because it basically started like downtown off Broadway in New York, and then Broadway, and then now they're doing this big national tour in the U.S. and now it's in London. So we shout out Cola Scola. We shout out a very insane queer play. So you're not a big club gay. You're a theater queen. Give me like any musicals you've seen, simply because I love to talk musical theater whenever I can.
I guess recently, I mean, it's musical theater. We saw The Producers.
Shout out.
I guess that is. Yeah. Yeah, that was
very
excellent.
Much.
I guess it's a classic.
The Producers is a classic. I will say that when I was in high school, I was in the ensemble in my hometown, and my very old Jewish grandfather came to see it. And let's just say Springtime for Hitler was not one of his favorites.
That's notes. Yeah.
But listen, I am a Jewess who loves The Producers, and if that gets me canceled, who gives a fuck? Okay, so here's the deal. For anybody who doesn't follow you yet, you are an incredible content creator. You are a sex worker. You are an OnlyFans king. You are a, dare I say, celebrity in the space. But you do a lot for visibility, not only for just like hot sex, but also as a trans sex worker. And you been posting some great videos on your YouTube channel about what it's like to be a sex worker, what it's like to grow up trans. And so I want to get into some of those questions. In fact, in one of your videos you posted, you had a really great story about you knew you were a boy at 8 years old. What did your parents get right that you think parents should do today when it comes to supporting a trans child?
I think the main thing was they really just listened to what I was saying, which sounds so basic. But their child was saying, this is who I am, this is what I'm going through, this is what I'm telling you, and they just took that seriously. I think they've always come at it with an attitude of, they just want me to be happy and safe. They have the same attitude when it comes to my sex work, actually. And yeah, I'm really grateful for that. I think I wouldn't be where I am now if it hadn't been for that kind of attitude, and definitely what I said about the media and it being really difficult to not sort of let some of that impacts people's opinions and people's approaches to it. I think that would be so difficult now. So yeah, I have a lot of sympathy for anyone who's struggling with that now, because back then there just wasn't really very much information about trans anything.
Well, whenever we get a chance to shout out the parents that are doing right by their queer children, we say thank you. And your parents did the exact thing that we hope all parents do, which is, like you said, listen to their fucking kids. And you said that you mentioned that your parents feel the same way about your sex work. How does it come up in conversation with your parents today? Like, is it like, you know, when we talk about, like, how's work going, are your parents like, any good recently? Like, what are those conversations like?
Not quite like that, but they definitely do ask me about work in a way that I think maybe right at the beginning they struggled with, because
yeah,
I guess it's difficult to have a conversation, or they thought it might be difficult to have a conversation about sex work and how sex work is going for me without talking about sex.
But sure.
Really, now we just talk about the work side of it. My dad had a small business himself when he was around my age, so we just kind of bond over the business side of things and how to, like, manage having a small, like, a limited company in the UK.
Yeah.
Which actually has been really nice to have something to sort of bond with him over and talk about and sort of share.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I am now finding myself to be a small business owner, because, like, this podcast and all my other fucking, you know, projects. And yeah. I know next to nothing, so I'm sure your dad could teach me a lot. But you posted a video saying that basically sex work and the OnlyFans of it all is mostly admin and then a little bit of sex. And so
yeah,
I think
it does
make me feel seen too, because so much of what we do is like editing and emailing and spreadsheets and all of that. What about, though, when it comes to your actual work-life balance? Percentage-wise, how much sex are you having on camera versus just, like, Eddie wanting to get off and have pleasure off camera?
So, my boyfriend and I are basically monogamous, which I think can be a little bit confusing for people who aren't in the industry to get their head around, and actually even people in the industry as well.
Mm-hmm.
When we met, we decided we would be open, and we sort of started off with that kind of framework, but then it's been 4 years now and we just haven't explored that or really gone down that route. We've just sort of become monogamous by default. So yeah, the sex I have is either work or with my boyfriend or solo, I guess. And obviously solo can be on camera as well, but I try to masturbate off camera and, like, sort of not like allow myself to enjoy myself and not always feel like I have to make content out of it.
Yeah.
Which I think is really important. And that's also, my boyfriend doesn't do sex work or anything, so that's another kind of nice boundary to have where it doesn't feel like we're putting pressure on the relationship to create content or to
yeah.
be doing any of that together. It's like, this is our time to just be together, and then separately from that, I'm working.
Oh, that sounds great. Nice. I mean, congrats on doing the very difficult thing, which I think is dating while also being a, you know, successful, busy sex worker. I mean, from the people I've interviewed, it can be difficult to sort of balance the two. So you said you've been with your boyfriend for 4 years. Is it okay to ask if your boyfriend is cis or trans?
He's cis.
Love. And how did you meet?
He slid into my DMs on Instagram.
As they do, as we do.
Which is kind of, so previously I'd been non-monogamous and I'd been dating a few people at once. And then mm-hmm. I was in like a semi-long-term-ish dating relationship thing with two people. And they both broke up with me in the same week. And then I was like, you know what, I'm going to step back from dating. I'm going to step back from seeing anyone for a while. I felt quite otherwise fulfilled with my friendships and with work, and felt like I was getting a lot of satisfaction from, in terms of intimacy and social connections and things like that, from my friendships. So I thought, I'm not going to date for a while. I'm not going to seek anything out. And then, yeah, he slid into my DMs and we just started chatting. And I was like, you know, maybe I could sort of go on a date and see what happens. And yeah, I guess it just came at the right time because we kept seeing each other. And now it's been 4 years, which is nice.
Wow, we love a successful Instagram DM into full-on relaysh. Well, once the paywall goes up in a few minutes, I do want to get into your sex, sure, on camera, but also I'm going to have to ask about the squirting of it all. How could I not? Yes. I'll be asking about your incredible bush. I'll be asking about what you can do for guys like me who have never been with a trans man, and maybe some advice for us if we are interested. We'll get into really invasive questions about your horniness, because
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.
It's what I love to do. But before we do that, let's get into some formative firsts for a second. Eddie, can you give us like an insight into your first boy-boy kiss or even losing your virginity or anything that, like, what was like a really formative first for you that felt incredibly affirming as a horny gay guy?
My first proper boy-boy kiss was when I must have been 18. It was with a school friend, and we've been best friends for a few years, and I'd just broken up with my girlfriend of 3 years, and I think we were drunk, and I actually don't even think we kissed that night. We kind of had like an awkward grind on each other. And then I think the kissing came later, like a different day. But both of us were kind of confused. I wasn't really sure about my sexuality. I thought I was probably bi. I think they knew they were gay at that point, but we'd never really discussed it. We'd never had any sort of proper conversations about it. We ended up having like a weird on-off situationship for, depending on where you put the boundaries of it, anywhere from 4 to 6 years, something like that.
Oh, Jesus, age.
Yeah. But then also, maybe it was like, it was probably also nothing for a lot of that time. So it got a bit like messy and confusing because it went from both of us being in our first gay relationship or crush or whatever it was. The first man that I slept with, although they're non-binary. And then turning into quite an intense friendship, love thing. So, yeah.
I mean, it sounds like a classic 18-year-old situationship that went on for maybe a little bit too long. I'm afraid to ask, but are you still friends with this person? Have you created a permanent boundary? Where are you at now?
We decided we would stop seeing each other romantically and sexually, obviously a few years ago now. Then we tried to sort of maintain a friendship. That didn't go particularly well. We stopped talking for about 2 years, but we recently reconnected, like literally just before Christmas. We went for a coffee, and yeah, it's cute. I'm glad to be back in touch with them.
Okay, mazel tov to that, because it's very hard to transition into a sort of nice coffee hang from a 6-year situationship. I have to tell you, Eddie, that I don't have too many exes because I met my husband when I was 24 and we've been together for, you know, 500 years. But I was recently blocked by, I'm not going to give anything too specific, but I was blocked by an ex from the distant past. And this was a blocking that happened over a decade after us really knowing each other. And so I'm in a like place of like, again, just in awe of you being able to actually still be able to see him, because clearly people do not want to keep in touch with me. They're blocking me on both my Instagram and the podcast Instagram.
Oh, fair. That's quite harsh. But I feel like one of the things I kind of learned from it, not that I don't take some accountability for what happened, and we weren't very nice to each other in a lot of ways. It was obviously we were very young and it was formative years and things like that. But definitely one of the things I learned is that it's often not about you. It's about the other person. And obviously it's about how you both come together and things like that. But I think if they're blocking you like this many years later, it's probably not really about you.
Thank you for saying that, because a lot of my friends love to tell me I try to make it all about me. And it's not. Okay, so let's get into some now leaning into horny questions. Are you into a very specific type of guy? Obviously, you're dating one person now, but you're sleeping with a lot for work. Would you say there's a physical or even emotional type that you are super drawn to? And does your boyfriend fall under that type?
I'd say I have a very wide range of types. And if I look back through the people I've dated, they've all been quite different. So I guess in that sense, I don't really have a type physically. Emotionally and personality-wise, I just like nice people. I guess I like feeling like a little bit of a princess. So I like a guy who is going to take care of me and just be nice, which my boyfriend does. Although saying that, so he's 15 years older than me. And I think that was actually one of the things that I kind of felt drawn to him, like, initially, because I felt like he's an older guy, he's going to take care of me. I don't mean, you know, financially or anything, but I just mean that
emotionally
being taken care of. Emotionally, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But after 4 years, you know, I realized actually we both take care of each other very much equally. Maybe I even take care of him a bit more than... No, it's probably about equal. But yeah, that was maybe one of the things initially that I found attractive.
Do you think that he falls under the moniker of daddy?
No, he would hate that.
Perfect. I'm glad I asked. Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 29.
Shout out. Okay, so 29, making him, you know, 40, early 40s.
Yes.
We love. I mean, there's so much discourse about age gap shit, but at the end of the day, as long as you are both, you know, taking care of each other, as you say, who gives a fook? Now, let's get into...
I think what it is as well is, like, I feel like where I am in my life as well, I feel quite steady and sorted, and yeah, I'm not into partying and things like that, so I think we kind of complement each other in that way, because he's at a stable point in his life. Because he's in his 40s and I'm at a stable point in my life because I want that, like, quiet, wholesome, sensible kind of... That's just my vibe. So, yeah, I think we just go well together for that reason as well.
Isn't that funny that you are truly giving porn star, but in your personal life, you want just a little quaint life and you want to be taken care of like a princess? I think it's really... I love the multitudes that we can carry. Well, I want to carry us into a horny question, which is, Eddie, do you have any stories about a hookup or a dating moment that felt either super hot, exhilarating, controversial, surprising, bad, anything memorable that comes to mind?
I'd like to share something about filming with someone.
Please.
Which was just like a really weird situation. So whenever I film with someone, I try to have a conversation beforehand about what we're both into and, you know, just have get a rough idea to check that we're compatible. So I had this conversation with the guy, came round, and then when we started getting set up and things like that, he was a complete bottom, so I was going to top him with my strap. When we started getting undressed and getting ready, it emerged that he didn't know that I was trans. He had seen my face on my Twitter, my profile picture. He'd seen the number of followers that I had and hadn't looked any further. He hadn't read my profile. When we were discussing what we were going to do and I said about topping him with my strap, I said, obviously, I love getting my pussy eaten. He just thought I meant pussy, like, you know, bussy. Yeah. And that he just brushed over the fact that I would be using a strap and thought maybe I just prefer to use a strap even though I have a penis. I don't know. It ended up being okay, but it was just like a really awkward vibe because, well, I mean, of course it's going to be at that point. It's like, this feels like a weird, like, this is the kind of situation that, like, like, how did I end up in this?
So you basically watched his face look down at your middle area of your body and his face,
watched,
his,
like,
eyes
cogs
red.
Turning.
Cogs turning, where's the dick? If there's no dick, then who's driving this bus? Yeah, that's wild. So obviously then you're saying that he realized what was going on mechanically and then he was into the agreed upon conversation, which is you did fuck him with your strap.
I did, yeah.
Did the sex, were you able to overcome that sort of, like, his lack of looking into, like, more than just your follower count?
It was okay. I felt like he...
For the rest of this interview, head to Substack, linked in the description. You can also watch bonus episodes with Mikey Graceffa from Death Becomes Her, Isaiah Rutledge, Sunset Boulevard's G-Min Moon. We have Derek Cage, Patrick, Nick, Thanos, Mark. They're all hot. The stories are amazing, and you should go check it out at substack.com/@EricWills, linked in the description. I love you, bye!